Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Craig Constance, though, has been covering the Detroit Red Wings for a while now. You know, before being the Athletic, he was with ESPN. And so,
Funny you say that. He just joined us.
He just joined us.
The reason why we had to bump him up, you know, we apologize, but he has to be on a conference call regarding the Dylan Larkin signing. So, welcome to the show from the Athletic, Craig Constance. How's it going, Craig? Some big news today.
Yeah, just when you think you're going to have a nice, easy summer Friday. A little bit of news. That's good, though. I don't mind it.
Well, we've been pumping that you're going to be on the show at 11:30. A lot of people looking forward to it. Obviously, circumstances change right now, so we'll get you out of here in 10 minutes or so. But tell us about the Larkin deal. And not only that, but we're having a discussion about how that might affect Sam Reinhart, too.
Yeah, I mean, it will have an effect on you know, a couple of deals, especially, you know, I think Toronto, I'm sure some of the young guys are looking at this contract. Just first impressions of this deal for Dylan Larkin. One, you know, the fact that it's 5 years is pretty interesting to me. I mean, a lot of times we see these young guys that are identified as franchise guys get the 7 or 8 year treatment. And I think the fact that it is a 5 year deal means that the Red Wings probably weren't willing to invest what it was going to take to get him to 8. In part because, you know, we're only 2 years removed from a sophomore season where he really struggled. And so, they have a lot of faith in him. They think he's, you know, probably a future captain of the Red Wings. And to me, this is a pretty nice compromise there.
Yeah, we were just discussing how it – I don't even know. Do you guys think that this contract directly affects Samson?
Well, I do. But the question I was going to have is – if you had to pick between Dylan Larkin and Sam Reinhart, if you're giving both players, you're starting a team and both players are available, which one would you pick? And can we compare their contracts or what that's going to look like for Sam Reinhart that way as well?
It's a fair question. I mean, Sam Reinhart, you know, he's got a little bit more of a track record in terms of his offensive production. I imagine it depends on where you think he's going to play in the lineup in terms of position. I think Dylan Larkin right now, the season he had last year, he solidified himself as a legit second-line center. I think in his mind, and I just had a conversation, I sat down with him a couple weeks ago, and in his mind, he sees himself still having upside. I mean, he mentioned the year that Nathan MacKinnon had and said, look, I would love to have, you know, one of those breakout years where he moves from that number two center to the number one centerman. And, the way the Sabres are set up, I don't think Sam Reinhart, you know, kind of gets there. So if I'm picking between the two, I'm leaning in the direction of Dylan Larkin. And that's not anything against Sam Reinhart. And so if we're talking money, it probably comes in less.
Instigators, and joining us right now on short notice, he has a conference call at 11:30 about the Dylan Larkin signing. It's Craig Constance of The Athletic, and we thank you very much for shifting your schedule and being able to join us. One of the conversations we've had a lot in the last couple days is your blueprint discussion. Number one, what made you – have you been doing that one for a while, and, you know, how did you come about it?
Yeah, so that one, gosh, it has been a while. I did it back at ESPN, and then when we were launching – The Athletic last year, I didn't get around to it last summer, so I took, there was a one-year hiatus. So this goes back to, I imagine I did it examining, you know, the Blackhawks and the Kings, and it's an interesting exercise because all those teams, you know, you can throw the Penguins in there, have been constructed a little bit differently. And so a lot of times the first couple categories are the same. You have the franchise centermen, so you've got the Kopitars, the Taves, the Crosbys, the Backstroms. You need that. So that tends to be consistent. And typically, in the Penguins, this wasn't always the case, but you also have kind of the high-end franchise defensemen, you know, the Drew Doughty, Chris Letang, you know, the Duncan Keith. So those are the two things you can pencil in. And then it changes a little bit. You know, in the case of the Kings, you probably had size, and they had those big, heavy forwards and depth, and they kept coming at you in waves and eventually would wear you down. The Blackhawks were a skill team. The Penguins were a speed team. And really what it establishes is, A, there aren't there are some things you always have to have to win a Stanley Cup, and I would argue you always have to have a high-end center. And B, you can have a team identity that is different, that sets you apart. And I think what you want, ideally, in that second category is some sort of competitive advantage. So in the case of the Penguins, it was speed. In the case of the Capitals, it was, you know, you could put Tom Wilson on the top line, and you have that size. And when they faced a Tampa Bay or even Vegas, that was something they were able to take advantage of. So, you know, that's kind of the thought process behind that project.
Craig Custance joining us from The Athletic. We're talking about the Stanley Cup blueprint. And so what are your thoughts on this, Marty? You guys,
well,
I just want to know what his thoughts were on the Sabres.
Well, because two things that grabbed my attention is that you have Buffalo right behind Boston, Tampa, and Toronto in the Atlantic Division, and you gave them a 3 out of 5 with room to grow. I just want you maybe to elaborate a little bit more on the room to grow, and where do you see this team not like in the best of world, but realistically could get to in 1 or 2 years from now?
Yeah, so I mean, where the room to grow is, you know, we're talking about them being at the very, very early stages of having their franchise players, right? So I think Jack Eichel, as good as he is, probably is going to improve. You know, Rasmus Dahlin hasn't even played a game yet. So if we're giving him check marks because of those players, we're still, you know, those players don't tend to have their greatest years until the 23, 24-year-old age. So we're still a couple years out from them being at their peak. And then I think the other area where Jason Botterill can improve the team is defensively. I mean, there's still some gaps to fill there. So, you know, and it's funny because, you know, people in Toronto were upset because they thought that Toronto and Buffalo were too close and Toronto was so far advanced. But really, this was about identifying kind of the larger picture building blocks you have to have in place to be a legitimate Cup winner. And I would argue that Buffalo, you know, the heavy lifting of Buffalo is over. The hardest thing to get is the franchise centerman, the franchise defenseman. And then, you know, then it comes about getting experience and filling in around those guys. And so that part's over for Buffalo in terms of getting the hard pieces.
So we've read the Metropolitan and the Atlantic divisions. So which team best matches up or fits the blueprint of the Washington Capitals in the Eastern Conference?
In terms of matching up, you know, that's a good question. I'd have to... I've already, like, moved on mentally in terms of teams that match up. The interesting thing is when you look at the Cup contenders in the East, it's still a team like, let's say, Tampa Bay, where what they don't have is the size, and I think that played out. And I'm going to add this caveat. When I did this originally, I talked to Brian McClellan and, you know, wanted his input in what he thought was a key building block to their success. And I didn't, when I was kind of sketching this project out, I didn't have size among them because I'm in that camp where I would just load up on speed and skill, and I think the league's getting smaller and faster, and I would tend to follow that trend. And he's like, look, it was a competitive advantage for us, and there were games we won in the playoffs. It's a different animal. Like, you know, as you guys know, the game changes once you get into the postseason, and he felt that that had to be an element of a Stanley Cup winning team, or at least it was an advantage that they had. So, you know, I still like Tampa Bay as probably the number one contender in terms of Stanley Cup in the East, but you know that's something they're going to have to contend with when they're playing a team like Washington. Or if they get to the Cup final, you know, you look at those big teams. Like, I mean, Winnipeg to me is almost on some level the mirror image of Washington in terms of that mix of skill and size.
I know you're tight for time because you have the Dylan Larkin conference call. How would you rate or rank, or what would your thought be or first impression of the Sabres offseason, the work that Jason Botchell's done?
Yeah, I was just talking about this morning. I think he's done a great job, and I, you know, if I had to guess, there was a bit of a feeling out process for him early on in his tenure there as a GM. Of course, I mean, any GM can look good when they win the lottery, so I mean, that's a huge thing you can't overlook. But I really like, you know, kind of the next tier of moves and supporting the lottery win by bringing in a guy like Connor Sheary, who he knows really well, and of course Jeff Skinner. I thought that was a really good deal. I especially like that they were able to add Jeff Skinner without giving up any of their first-round picks. I assumed if Skinner was getting moved before the season started, that was going to be the minimum ask. So I thought he did really well there.
Are we in a day and age where we're moving away from goaltending as a key? Because in your five part of Blueprint, there's nothing about goaltenders.
Notice it's the goalie,
you know,
asking that question, Craig, because we know that goaltending doesn't matter.
No, so here's what I would say about that, Marty. I to me, that's like the prerequisite. And I wish I would have kind of noted that in the intro.
Okay.
Like, you're not going to win it unless you get good goaltending. Like, there's not a Stanley Cup winner where it's like, oh, we got an 890 out of our goalie, but we were so good everywhere else that we won. I just think that's the foundation that you all, like, every Cup winner has a goalie that had a good run.
Yeah, and you know what? I wanted to let you answer that question. I am very good at answering for other people, but I will say that I guess I thought it was an obvious. It's obvious. I mean, it wasn't on there because I feel like any team that wins the Cup never has junk goaltending going in. You know, like they have either a great goalie that, you know, plays well enough to get them a championship, or they have a good goalie that plays great and they win. So I think you're right. That is a prerequisite. Craig, you got anything for Craig?
I've enjoyed this conversation.
Well, yeah, and you know what? And I know you're going to be away next week, so we know we tried to maybe reschedule 11:30, and I appreciate you being able to come on and join us on such short notice. And we got to head to break. You have a conference call, but we appreciate the time you're able to give us.
Oh, my pleasure, guys. Thanks for having me on.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.